Lord, this morning we thank you that you make, or this evening, we thank you that you're making all things new. And we come submit ourselves under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We ask that you will come and lead us. Come and shape us into whatever you deem it worthy for us to be shaped into. We surrender our spirits to you this evening, Lord, and we ask that you'll come and meet each one of us where we are at. I pray that everyone that steps in here, that's been here, that's faithful tonight to be in the house of the Lord, will leave here changed. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, everyone. Thank you very much for that. We're busy with a sermon series called Welcome Home. And for the two of you that don't know me, I enjoy a few things in life, and that would do with battle. So I thought I'd put a few dog tags up there to remind us on why we as Shofar are here in Cape Town. What is the calling that we have? And so part of Welcome Home is when Matty and I were still dating, I invited her over to meet the folks for the first time, and that was sort of like a bad enough moment, you know that moment where for the first time you got to meet the possible one-to-be's parents. And so just to give you a bit of a background, my dad is Afrikaans, but it depends where you meet him, if you actually think he's English or Afrikaans. If you meet him with my mom, you'd think he's British, seriously British. If you meet him at work, you wouldn't believe he can speak English. So you really got both worlds correct. But Matty's family is, how do I put this, Afrikaans, very Afrikaans. And so when we go over to Maddie's place, you know, it's a normal braai, and you sort of fight to get to that piece of meat that you want. And if you're not fast enough, that piece of meat's gone. All right? So that's how I see the in-laws. I'm just joking. It's not that bad. But Maddie came over to this English family for the first time, and she sat down, and it was a culture shock. There was about 14 knives and 14 forks and 3 spoons, and we all sit down very prim and proper, and then the first course comes, and then the second course comes, and then the third course comes, and then the fourth course comes, then we end with the fifth course, and I'm not underestimating, I'm not joking, this is how I was brought up. So for Matthew, it was a massive culture shock. She didn't know where to start. You know those movies where they look at all the knives and forks and their eyes just go, you don't know where to start? Well, it was hilarious to watch how Matthew sort of worked through all these knives and forks in front of her. What's my point? My point is that every house has a little something, something. There's something different about every house and every home. And so Welcome to Cape Town speaks about welcome to the city of Cape Town, but also welcome home here. And there's a few things you need to know about Shofar before you're going to think about walking with Shofar. And so this evening, I apologize beforehand. I believe I will be culture shocking some of you. And for others, I'm just going to be fully out offending you. And I'm really sorry about that to start off with. It's not my heart or my intention. But I think it's really important that we realize what it means and what the DNA of this church is. You see, Scripture speaks about that we're all part of the body, and we'll get into that now. But every part of the body has a function. The toe has the function. The pinky has a function. The gray hair has a function. Every part of the body has a function, and we have a function. And if we don't fulfill the function that God's called us to do, we're going to be in trouble. Because God expects us to do what He asks. And so I love the fact when Nita comes to the front, she doesn't bring a very loving kind of word. It's Revelations. I don't know if you've read Revelations. I don't know if you've gone to the end of Revelations. It's quite a hard book. But if you're going to be part of this church, you'll find that most people really enjoy Revelations. I love Revelations. I don't get what's going on there at all, but I love it. You know, it's like watching a Peter Pan movie. It's like, you know, Star Wars. It's crazy. You're not sure exactly what's going on, but it's like, wow, okay, well, that was pretty good. Especially the 3D, you know. That's almost like Revelations. And that's how John saw it. I really believe John would have seen it in 3D. That's why it explains the way he sees it and explains it so well. So he had the 3D before we had. All right. And the part of the title of the sermon series is called Shape to Year. It is really important that we hear God right. And I love what John brought this evening. John, I don't know where you are now. There you are. Thank you so much for being obedient to hearing God's voice about the renewal of the mind. Because that's what we're going to be speaking about tonight. But before we carry on, can I just ask that we pray again? Is that all right? All right. One of the hearts of Shofar is a heart of intercession. We are intercessors. So if you don't like praying, welcome to prayer. Father, we just come and we ask, Lord, this evening that we will hear your voice. We just come and lay down every distraction. We lay down everything that exalts itself against the name of Jesus Christ. We lay down our concerns, our fears, our worries, our anxieties. Father, we come sit at your feet tonight. We look up at your face and we're excited, Lord, to share with what you're doing, to go where you're calling us. And Lord, as we speak about welcome home, Lord, we declare, Lord, that the greatest home that we have is at your feet. The home that we have is to be part of Jesus Christ, to be saved by the blood of Jesus. And we come this evening, Lord, and we pray that you'll come and open up those ears, open up our eyes, that we may see and hear what you're doing, that we will not miss the call that you've given us a shofar. The call that you've given us corporately and individually. As each one of us here, Lord, has a part to play in building your kingdom. We want to be accurate for what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. I've walked about 3 or 4 circles in the sermon, and it's changed every time, and it's even changed from this morning to this evening. And so it's work in progress, so I ask that you have a bit of mercy as we work through these slides tonight. We're going to be focusing on Romans 12 tonight. And as we go through Romans 12, it's a very famous part of Scripture. It's a letter written by Paul to the church in Rome. And we're going to follow as it goes. And I'm going to read quite a bit, and then I'll jump back. And then I'm going to jump in between some thoughts. And I need you to focus with my thoughts and stick with what I'm trying to bring across, because you need it all to get where we're going. And what I want you to remember is the whole point is, in the end, that we can hear the Lord's voice more accurately. Are you with me? Is there anyone that doesn't want to hear God's voice more accurately? Anyone? Anyone? Good. Praise Jesus. All right. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your minds, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And we're going to get back to that just now. We're reading from the New King James Version, verse 3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is amongst you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. I'm going to stop there for a minute. You will notice the first thing it will tell us is not to be proud or arrogant. Not to think more highly than you ought of yourself. But here's the question that I'm going to ask. Does this sound that Paul is writing to individuals? Or does it sound like Paul is writing to a group of people? Anyone? A group. Can I hear that again? A group? Agreed? Group. In other words, he's speaking to a team of people. Now, there's something you need to know about the epistles. Now, first of all, what is an epistle? Epistle is a book written by an apostle. So this is one of the epistles. You with me? I don't want to lose you with weird words. So this book is written to a group of people. When you read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, does it not feel that it's more written to you personally? Are you with me? It feels like Jesus is connecting with you on a more personal level, doesn't it? But when we start reading the epistles from Acts onwards, we start noticing that all these books are written to the church of different areas. I love Revelations, going back to the Revelations. Every time John's writing to a church of a city. Now you see, the great thing in those days is they didn't have choices of churches. I think it's great. If you were offended in that church, then it's sorry, that's too bad, and then that's how it was. Other great thing is that people died in those churches. So in other words, it cost you something for you to sit in a pew like you're sitting today, meant that you made a stand, which meant that you were possibly going to die. Christians were persecuted heavily in those days. They were killed in the arenas. But we see Paul writing to a church, and we'll get to the now why that is so important. Let's move on to the next scripture, verse 6. Having then gifts different according to the grace that is given to us, if prophesy, let us prophesy in portion to our faith or ministry. Let it be used in our ministry to or teach. Okay, or he who is tense in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives, give liberally, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. We see here that there are different gifts that each person in this team has that needs to be given. Agreed? Are you with me, church? All right. So for this to happen, two things need to be in place. First of all, what does God say about leadership? I'm going to fly through this fast because this is just all sorts of awkward. Hebrews 13, verse 7. Remember your leaders who taught you the word of God. Think of all the good that has come from their lives and follow the example of their faith. And then later on, verse 17, obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls, and they are accountable to God. Give them reason to do this with joy and not sorrow. That would certainly not be for your benefit. Now, this is a very ouch scripture. Is it not so? But this is the same for your boss. You see, scripture says in, we're busy now with Romans 12. Romans 13 goes on to that all authority comes from God. And that you need to obey all authority. Does that mean your president? Yes, that means the president of your country. It means your boss at work. You see, here's what I'm going after. You have to be planted somewhere to have a leader. If you want to be part of what God's doing, you need to be in that hedge of protection that God gives you. Because it's my job and the job of others. Because before we carry on, something about you need to know about this church, Shofar Cape Town, we do not manipulate you. We do not control you. Anyone that's been here longer than 5 minutes will tell you that's not our heart, that's not what we do. That's not what Christ does, that's not what we do. It is our role to spiritually look after you, to stand with you, to pray with you. And with many of you here, I've walked a road with, I've preached, I've cried with, I've prayed with. Same with Tien, same with Henri. See, in the end, we're accountable to God. There's an accountability that comes with it. There comes a responsibility. So if ever your leader is treating you wrong or is not doing right to you, if you give it to God, God will judge them. Because God holds us accountable for the people that's in our lives. Same with you, with the people that God puts in your life, be it your workplace, be it your family. But I don't want to hammer this too importantly. The next one is more important. Psalm 92. Those that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. That's why you are planted in a church. They shall bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. You see, what happens with a plant? If you take a plant and you put it in the ground and you take it out and you put it in the ground and you take it out and you put it in the ground and you take it out and you put it in the ground, do you know what happens with that plant? The roots dwarf. They die. And in the end, the tree can't grow. And if it does, any wind that will come will blow it over. That's why God calls us to be planted. If you're not planted, you will not change. Because you'll never be challenged. Why am I bringing this? Why is the Lord laying this on our hearts this evening? And we'll go through more through Romans to understand this. But here's the crunch of it. God wants to shape you to do what he's called you to do. And you can't do it alone. Shall we start from the beginning of Romans? Can we move on a few slides? That's the one. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to read through Romans 12 verse 1 and Romans 12 verse 2. But the verse 1 I'm taking from the NIV, I believe it explains it a little bit better. And then verse 2 I'm taking from the NLT, the New Living Translation. Because I believe it explains it also a little bit better. So we can just understand exactly what God's after. Remember, being planted. Therefore, what does it mean if Scripture starts with therefore? It means it's following something. All right. The nice thing is it actually says what it follows. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy. Now, Romans 11 is all about God's mercy for the Gentiles to come into God. You see, the Gentiles or the Romans were in this place where they saw that the Jews had been cut off and they'd been grafted in and they were boasting and bragging in it. And Paul was just reminding them that is the mercy of God. It's the mercy of God that we may be saved. In the view of God's mercies, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. If you want to worship God, you need to be a living sacrifice. Are you with me? I'll be very careful with the words I choose now. I got it totally wrong this morning, so I'm going to try again. You know what I really, 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 really enjoy about the band in this church? I love the fact that I can see that in their lives. I can see that they surrender to God. I've been in churches where they have incredible musicians, but I'm not drawn to the worship. See, I've got the gift of discernment of spirits. I can discern that there's another spirit at play. But when I'm around the guys that's up in here, I see, and I walk with many of them, but I see how they surrender and seek God earnestly. I see how it's not about being cool or being in a band, or it's not about smoke and mirrors and who's who and who's writing the new song. And let me tell you, we do write songs. I don't know if you know that. Over the last year, we sang one or two of the songs. Incredible songs that the Lord lays on the hearts of the worshipers. James being in Stellenbosch, God has really given amazing songs. Just songs that when you sing it, you realize this is someone that sat at the throne room of God. Do you know those kind of songs? You know that song, It Is Well With My Soul? That song? You know when you sing it, I don't know, you can be in any church in the world. When you sing that song, something grips you. Because the guy that wrote that song, and Ewald shared it also before from in front, the guy that wrote that song, he was in a time where he really knew that God is good. He really knew, even though what he was going through, that it is well with his soul. And there's something timeless about a song like that. It's not a bubblegum song. Are you with me? So much of the music that we listen to these days is bubblegum songs. Even the worship is such bubblegum sometimes. It's a really nice song. There's nothing wrong with the song. The lyrics are great, but it just doesn't have depth. Are you with me? Is that judgmental? Am I offending you yet? I'm really sorry if I am. That favorite song of yours, it's not a bubblegum song, I pray. But there's songs that's timeless. And what I love about the guys that's in our worship band is guys that really seek God. It's guys that come and practice every night. I don't know if you noticed, we had a boy band tonight. Did anyone notice that? It's the first time since I've been here that we've had a boy band. We can give them a name later. You see, the highest form of worship is obedience. That's the highest form of worship before God, if you're obedient. Scripture says that if you love me, you will. That's what Christ says. But it's not a hit on the head with a stick kind of verse. Daniel's son, give me a stick. Okay? It's not Christ saying, listen, your butt, if you love me. Okay? He's saying, if you love me, the fruit of your love is that you obey me. The fruit of a soccer player is that he can play One plus one. All right. The highest form of obedience, the highest form of worship is obedience. Let's move on to Romans 12, verse 2. And we're only in the second verse. There's what, 16 verses, 19 verses still to go. Don't copy, I'm joking, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God, what? Three of you, let's try more. Transform you into a, by, are you going to change the way you think if you go from church to church to church to church to church? Are you going to change the way you think? Listen, because now all of you are going, well, I've been in show for all my life. What are you talking about? Okay. Are you going to be changing if you go from podcast to podcast to podcast to podcast? Now we're all confused. Ooh, hallelujah. What's the answer? Lord, divine inspiration. Can I ask you a question about those podcasts you're listening to? I listen to podcasts. I listen to lots of podcasts and sermons and teachings. And I know many people that give many sermons in many different areas. It's my job. I need to know. Okay? So hear what I'm saying. Not saying podcasts are wrong. The only problem is, do you know what that church is going through that you're listening to this podcast to? Do you? Do you know where God's taking them? Do you? Do you know why God's showing them at that time what they're showing them? Do you? Hopefully you know in this house why it's happening. You see, the biggest problem is that we're going on secondhand revelations. Smith Wigglesworth says, Bethel says, Hillsong says, Brian Houston says, Joyce Meyer says, C.S. Lewis says. We quote a lot of people. Nothing wrong with that at all. I quote D.L. Moody later on. Nothing wrong with quoting people. But here's the problem. Is it their revelation or is it your revelation? If it's your revelation, you'll live it. It will be part of you. So many of us are finding inspiration outside of intimacy of God. You know how I know things? I first go to God. And I first ask God, Lord, how does this work? Why does it work this way? Why does Scripture say this? Out of that place, when seeking, when I'm listening to my podcasts, God can then share for me how it works. And I go, man, that's an awesome teaching. John Piper, wow, man gets it. Or Joyce Myers, the lady with the voice. Or Brian Houston, or whatever podcast or whatever sermon or whatever you're listening to. But seek intimately God first. We've moved away from that. Why? It's right there. Because we're not being transformed by God. We're conforming to the ways of the world. You see, it says in the New King James Version, do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Can we move to the next slide? What is shaping and who is shaping who you are? Is it okay if I bring an analogy to the front? Are you all with me? No one's upset yet? We might still have a few ice creams left from 2-3 weeks ago. Juliet will give you ice cream. Hold with me. Can we move on to the next slide? Is this you? Is this your career? Is this your path? Stop. I am not saying, okay, I'm not saying God's calling you to be a missionary in Africa. I'm not saying God's not calling you to business. I imagine 99% of the bride of Jesus Christ is in business of some sort. So we need to be in business. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, are you being conformed into the way of the world, the way the world tells you to think? Or are you being transformed? Are you with me tonight? You see, someone that's conforming sounds and speaks exactly the same like the Toyota car in front of him. Are you with me? BMW, Mercedes-Benz, Ferrari, whatever you want to see it as. You see, you can be a Christian. You can be going down this path and know every scripture in the Bible. Are you with me? All right. So what's the other side of the stick? Shall we look at the other side of the end of the stick? All right. Next one. All right. 2 years ago, I did a sermon called Band of Brothers. Does anyone remember that? I know Evald will remember that. And I pulled out a samurai sword. And I haven't done it for 2 years. Now, a samurai sword is also known as a katana sword. And when last have you seen a sword in church? Amen? 2 years ago, Bernie. Yeah, I remember. Okay. But there's something I want to speak about. So I spoke about how a katana sword is made. So you'll notice that a katana sword has a bend in it. Do you see it's curved? Now, when a katana sword is made originally, it's straight. And there's a process called quenching where they put clay on it. And if it's done right, if the sword is right and all the metal is right and everything is perfect, as it cools down, it gets this bend. Isn't that awesome? But if it's not made right, if you remember from my sermon last time, it warps and it's thrown away. So what makes this sword, what is the point here? The point is that a samurai sword has purpose. Every samurai sword is made individually. There's two people that work on a samurai sword. It's the one being the forger, the blacksmith. And the second one is the polisher. The polisher is seen almost more important than the forger. A samurai sword can take up to 20 years to be made. Did you know that? It's such a process. And when the forger makes a sword, he takes it to the polisher, and the polisher is the one that sharpens the sword. And he brings the sword before the polisher, and he says, will you accept the sword to polish it? And he'll look at the sword, and he'll look at the owner or the forger, and he'll decide if he will actually then take the sword, because it's such a responsibility. And every single sword, you see that pattern that's there? Is made individually. No samurai sword will ever, no katana sword will ever look the same. See, God creates each one individually. He doesn't mass produce us. Because there's a purpose for each and every one of us. But for that to happen, there needs to be a transformation. Agreed. Are you with me? So the question is, shall we go one slide back? Are you the sword in the Lord's hand? Are you being transformed? Are you changing? Or are you conforming to the ways of the world, going as everyone else is going? You see, Scripture says that the Lord is the potter. We are the clay. You're the potter. Now, something about pots. In the days of the Egyptians, pots were used as we use plastic. So shall I read that again? We are the plastic, and you are the plastic maker. Does that sound to you very romantic? We're the work of your hands. How do I measure if I'm being transformed or if I'm conforming? How do I measure the value of this pot? Can we move on? The value of the pot is what is inside of it. You see, the Egyptian used it to put olives in. They made olive oil and they made expensive perfumes. So the question is, what goes on inside of you? Are you hungry for Jesus? Are you hungry for intimacy? Or are you hungry for success inside the world? To be important in front of people? Are you making sacrifices or are you doing lip service? Are you with me? So, you know that song, I Surrender All? I surrender a little. I surrender a little. All for me now. Little bit for Jesus. I surrender a little. It's not the words that come out your mouth. It's what's filled inside. It's what you hunger for. Quote time. D.L. Moody says, character is what you are in the dark. In other words, when you're alone and no one's looking, no one's there, what do you find yourself pondering? What do you find yourself dreaming? What do you find yourself doing? I mostly find myself playing games on my iPhone. My wife is my witness. We all need to have a look at our lives. Because in all of our lives is a place where we are not totally surrendered. A place where we are not transformed. Isn't that so? Character is what you are or who you are in the dark. See, Proverbs says, a person who is full refuses honey, but even bitter food tastes sweet to the hungry. If you are full of God, you're not going to want the things of the world. That's what it means to be a living sacrifice. Can we go back to Romans 12, verse 2. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you. You want to know why so many of us don't know what the will of God is for our lives? Are you with me? Because we are not being transformed, we are conforming. And the more we conform, the less we're going to hear God. Why is this so important? Why is this welcome home? So welcome home, everyone. 14 knives, 14 forks, 2 spoons. Why is this so important? Shofar Cape Town is called to be a prophetic voice in Cape Town. To be a prophetic voice, you need to hear God's voice. You can't be a prophetic voice if you can't hear the Maker's voice. And we can't do that if we are not transforming, but if we are conforming. So this one is on a corporate level, but this one is an individual level. We corporately are going to have to start realizing that God needs to transform us in areas, but we also need to start learning individually. I used to work for an NGO a while back, and we were working with high school students, and we only had them for about 3 hours a day, between 2 and 3 hours a day. Do you know what the biggest challenge for us was in transformation in their minds? Was the other 23 hours of the day that they are influenced. It's great that we had 2 hours or 3 hours, but the other hours, they were with friends, they were with parents, and these were children that didn't know who their father was. These were kids that, this was in a settlement in Stellenbosch, these were kids that come from beat up backgrounds, bad backgrounds. These are children that didn't have food at home. These are children that would be involved in certain gangs. These were children that had really hard life. And we were trying to make a difference in their life, but we realized we're always playing catch up to the other 23 hours of confirmation, of conforming that they were doing. It's great that we sit in church together on a Sunday night like this, in a church building. We are the church, but in a church building together as believers. It's great that we come together once a week. That's really awesome. But it's not enough to be agents of transformation. Now, Tiens last week spoke about being salty, being the salt of the earth. And this hooks onto that. If you weren't here, please get the download. It's on the website. But God is calling us, as Shofar Cape Town, to something higher, something greater. Juliet was joking around what I said this morning. If you ain't dreaming it, you ain't going to get it. You ain't going to make it. If you stand for nothing, you'll fall for everything. You know that saying? I don't know who I'm quoting now. Quoting quite a few people. The point is, I told the congregation this morning, I said, I really want to be able to speak to the president one day. I want to be able to go up to the president of the country and go to him and say, I believe God says this for our nation. I want to be a voice of reason. And if I don't get it, I'm hoping that someone in this congregation will be there. And if one of you aren't there, I'm really hoping someone in the Shofar group will make it. And if there's someone in the Shofar group, I'm just praying that there's a Christian, a child in the house and the bride of Jesus Christ that will have that space. And if none of us have that space, I pray that my child or my children's generation will get it. And if they don't get it, I pray that my grandchildren's generation get it. I'm praying and standing in faith that someone will speak and have that platform. Are you with me? I know I'm here. I know that. I know I'm talking about, I'm going to have to stand in a few chairs. There. But for me to go from here to there is a lot of transformation that has to happen in my own life. Are you with me? So we started praying as the leadership of this church, and the Lord started showing us, let's change small group. Do you remember that? So we can focus more on discipleship and a few other things. But mainly it's about discipleship. So we started doing more in discipleship. So they can be changed. So we can transform. We're looking at intercession, bringing in certain teachings, changing the way we're doing intercession. We're always looking for a place. Lord, are we conforming as Shofar Cape Town, or are we transforming? But where are we going? That's why we put the vision in. If you walk into the founders, you'll see there's three big border, what do you call it? Canvases, whatever. And on it is the vision of the Shofar for Cape Town, Shofar as the movement, in other words, the DNA that God's given us, and the word that the Lord has given us this year, which is building the house of the Lord, God's house, God's building. And we put it up so you can see it, so you can continually know what we've been transforming into. Because we went and heard from the Lord. It is so important that each one of us hear years, like John heard this evening, the word that he brought for the renewal of your mind. So Romans 2 says, renewing of your mind so you can change. That each one of us hears what God has at your workplace. What God has in that situation with your boss that's going very pear-shaped very fast. With your spouse. With your friends. Otherwise, we will not fulfill the purpose that God has for us, for our generation, for this time. Can we move to the last slide? See, here's the awesome part of it all. I give my life to the potter's hand. This is a song for those of you that are in worship. Take me, use me, lead me, mold me, call me, fill me, guide me. That we may be the agents of the Holy Spirit to bring transformation in our country. We're living in sticky times, and a lot of people have a lot to say. The answer is education. The answer is we need to take on corruption. The answer is we need to change government. We need to change policies. We need to change the law. We need to enforce the law more. All these things. Can I tell you what the answer is? It's very simple. The answer is Jesus Christ. And after that, he will add all the rest. Then comes education. Then comes You know what we've done? We've just given all the answers. We need education. We need this. And we'll give you Jesus last. Are you with me? We're not opening Parliament in prayer. We're not. I don't hear them saying, "Hi, I just greet you in the name of Jesus Christ." I don't hear that anymore. I used to hear that years ago. I'm not going to tell any bad jokes. Jesus Christ is the answer to this nation. But we do not have the platform to speak it, to say it, to be it, because we're not hearing God's voice, so God waits upon us. Because he's a good God. He says, "I'll wait. And if you don't want it, I'll give it to your children." That's what he said to your parents. That's what he said to your parents' parents. And so on and so on. We have a time where God's giving us an awesome window so we can transform. Remember, we spoke earlier this year that God's going to empower us, empower you to be that agent of change. Shall we stand? Can we go one slide up, please? This evening, I'm going to challenge you on a personal level. The band can come to the front. Boyzone can come to the front. Newsboys. Newsboys, good. Huh? The five. Five boys. I like it. Okay, let's focus. This evening, I want to challenge you on an individual level. Do you know what God has called you for?
4 years ago,
I was in a time of my life. It's not a real blade. The blade is, it's not sharpened, okay? Can I have a volunteer up in front? 4 years ago, the Lord spoke to me. It was a hard time in my life. He spoke to me about my calling, about being in ministry. And I said to the Lord, Lord, if I'm called to ministry, still called to ministry, if you want me to be ministry, I put out my fleece on my birthday. I want a samurai sword. Guess what happened on my birthday? I told no one about this. See, I love battle. I love fighting for Jesus. I love praying. And I put up my fleece and I said to the Lord, if I'm hearing the call of my life right, on my birthday, not the day before, not the day after, on my birthday, I want the impossible gift of a samurai sword. And I knew the Lord would give it to me because I knew I heard God right. Do you know the call on your life? Do you know the purpose for your life? Do you know why God has called you in this era, in this time? We need to get a prophetic urgency. We're going to need to get prophetic accuracy. So that's what you're going to be hearing a lot about from me this year. And that's what the Lord is telling me to focus on. So the part that I'm playing in the body is to bring us to a place to hear God right. You want to hear God right? Come to intercession. You want to know if you're hearing God right? Ask your friends. The ones that hear from God. Not the ones that hear from the bottle. Amazing who we ask when we ask them. This is not a word of condemnation. This is a word of excitement. How on earth would I have heard God that He's calling me to ministry? And how on earth would I have heard or asked for a summer sign? How on earth would I have gotten it? And it wasn't because I was transformed in this holy man and I was not. I was in a bad, bad space. But I came in surrender to God. And I said, I surrender all. I surrender all. I had no idea what that meant. I had a bit of idea, but I had no idea what it means. How on earth do you know what that means? Come river rafting, it's great. Yeah, sure, it sounds awesome. Until you're in that river and it's rapid 0.7 or however it works and you're screaming like a little girl. Come into a place of surrender and say, Lord, I give you it. Take it. I'll do whatever. Is God calling you to Africa? No. Stop. No. Is He calling you to do something you hate? No. Stop. No. God gave you your gifts for a reason. We were standing around this morning at the coffee machine, and Peter Wasserfall, for those of you who know him, was saying something so amazing. We were joking because the one guy asked him, what do you do? He says, well, man, it's really hard, but I do agriculture and I do... And he started rattling off these things that he does like 40 different things. So you can see the guy was like, okay. And he looked at him, Peter looked at this guy and he said, I love what I do. Isn't that awesome? I love what I do. Can I tell you something? Peter is walking in the calling of God. I can see it. I can taste it. He's got testimony and fruit that is beyond anything I've seen in most people's lives. And he loves it. I love what I do. I love serving the bride of Jesus Christ. I love it. It's my course. It's my food. It's what excites me. I'm the guy that gets up excited for work, and I'm not a morning person. And yes, everyone has a bad day. Do you know what God has called you for? Let's put out our faith tonight that God can come and show us. Let's close our eyes. Dear Father, this evening we have a humble moment before you, where we read in Romans, let's not think too highly of ourselves. So Lord, we don't think highly of ourselves. We think soberly of ourselves. We are but mere plastic in your hands, Lord, mere clay, to be shaped and molded as you desire. And we realize, Lord, our worth, our value is what we contain. Lord, and we pray as Nita brought that word tonight, that we'll not be filled with idolatry and evil and the debauchery and all these things that's in this world, but we pray that we'll be filled with the Holy Spirit, continually flowing in the Holy Spirit, filled with the knowledge of Jesus Christ in relationship with Jesus. We pray that we'll be filled in the truth of Jesus Christ. We pray that Christ will be our high place in our lives. And that we will not submit to the high places of this world. Lord, we're in a city that is teaching us to be successful, to make money, to have a good time. We pray, Lord, that we will not be conforming to Capetonianism. That we'll be that we'll not conform to Capetonianism, but we'll be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray this evening that each one of us ears will be opened to hear the call. On our lives, Lord, that we'll not be confused anymore about what we're supposed to do individually and corporately, Lord. That we'll not run around like headless chickens thinking that we need to be prophetic or trying to act prophetic or try and be different, but that we will walk in assurance for what you've called for us. And therefore, in the spirit realm, we declare that we desire our legacy and our inheritance that Jesus has for us now in this time. I pray that people will hear your voice clearly in dreams, in visions, in scripture, in nature, in worship, in the podcasts, in the teachings. In all the places that we go, Lord, that we'll hear what you have for us. We pray that we'll hear it daily, but we pray that we will seek it daily. I pray, Lord, that we'll have a hunger to seek after you and your will. Lord, South Africa needs a Savior so desperately. And we sit with the Savior and it's like we can't take the Savior to the world. We don't know how. And I pray that will change, Lord. I pray that that will change in Jesus' name. I pray that we will be like that samurai sword, designed, crafted, and knowing what we do do. Lord, like the katana sword, Lord, that we will know that we are designed to do a specific job, to work in a specific way. So this evening, if you are in that place where something's tugging in your heart and you're going, man, I don't know, Bree. I don't know. then we're going to start praying together. And I ask that you will come, not now, but you'll come to the front. We're going to sing and worship God, and then we're going to pray for one another. We're going to anoint one another. We're going to stand in faith together that we'll get what God's calling us to go. We need, Shofar, listen carefully, we need to be spiritually accurate. We are going in a time where there's so many voices that we need to have the wisdom of the voice of the true King to be a prophetic voice. And we're going to stand in faith until we get there. Is that all right? Can we do that? Go talk to your friends. Go talk to people around you. There was a time when one of the pastors in Shofar, one of the pastors was in a time where he wasn't sure if he was supposed to be in ministry. Have a seat. Jules, how are we doing on time? There was a time that one of the pastors wasn't sure he was supposed to be in ministry anymore. He was up in Johannesburg side, and he came down to the Cape. And he phoned up his friends. Phoned up Pastor Henny. And he phoned up one or two other pastors. And he said to him, guys, I'm not sure anymore. I'm not sure I'm doing what God's called me to do. I think I must go back to teaching. And they could sit him down and say, we were there that day that God called you. We were there that day that God put that calling in your life. We stood with you. We stepped into ministry with you. You are called for ministry. It's so important that you be planted. It's so important that you have people around you that can be there to say, no, Bernie, you were always called for ministry. Someone says to you, no, you've always been called for business. No, you're not going to stop that business God has given you. That was God's business. Yes, it's going tough now, but you're going to finish it. Yes, it's tough being in corporate. I know it's hectic. It's hectic there. But God's called you there. I was there the day that God called you. We prayed. Remember when we stood in faith for a job for you? When it starts getting difficult in the marriage. You know what? We were there when you were standing in faith for her. And you're crying before the Lord. Lord, please, can I have a wife? No, you got it. Remember that? You're going to get through this. It's so important that we stand together. And then we put out our faith. We're going to worship one song. And if that's you, I'm going to call you, ask that you come to the front. Let's pray together. I would love to see each and every one of us do what God called us to do. That's my greatest prayer. You see, the high call of Jesus Christ is that you can hear His voice. Not raise the dead, not heal the sick, not float like a butterfly, not do weird and wonderful things. The high call on your life is that you can know Jesus intimately like Moses knew Him. That is the greatest gift that God gave us. The greatest gift. And out of that, the raising the dead and all of that comes. If you don't have Jesus as your personal Savior, then as people come to the front, I want to invite you. Let's pray together. Let's have Jesus come in. Let's walk with the Lord. Let's meet Jesus. If you've walked away from Jesus, or you know you're cold at the moment, I'd like to invite you back. Christ invites you back. And if you're just wrestling with the world that seems to be conforming you into who you are, then let's pray together that God transforms us.